All right, this is Beth Smith. I'm at the home of Tom and Mary Jo Sandell, and they're going to talk to the tape this afternoon and tell us about their lives and their life here in Salida. We're at their home at 111 Chavanaugh Avenue, and this is August the 11th, 2006. All right. Hi, how are you doing, Tom?
Fine, thank you.
You gotta talk louder than that. Yeah, move up.
Okay.
Tell me when you came to Salida.
We came here the end of November 1966.
Uh-huh. And you've been here the whole time?
Yes.
Yeah. Where'd you come from?
Well, actually, we came from Germany. We'd been in the military for 3 years prior to that and had gotten home in, I think, September that fall, and spent a little time looking around trying to decide where we wanted to go into practice, and wound up coming here. Actually, my brother was in law practice here at the time, and
what was his name?
Jerry Sandell, and we came to have Thanksgiving dinner with them and didn't leave. We've been here ever since.
Great. You must like it then, huh, Mary Jo?
Yes, we've been really happy here. All our children went through school from kindergarten through graduation, and we thought that was a plus. The school system was very good. They all went on to college and then careers. And
we'll talk about them in a minute. Let's talk about your growing up, your schooling, and your families that you came from.
I grew up in Upper Michigan. I was born in Ironwood, Michigan, and we lived in Ironwood and Bessemer, Michigan, while I was growing up, and I was the second of 10 children, all of whom are still alive back in the Racine, Kenosha, Wisconsin area, except for one who lives in Colorado, one brother. Went through elementary and high school in Catholic schools up there, and then went into nursing at St. Mary of Nazareth School of Nursing in Chicago. Graduated from there, and
when did you graduate?
In 1958. It was a 3-year diploma program. Then moved to Denver with 4 of my classmates. We all went to Denver and rented a house and nursed in Denver at Denver General and the Veterans Hospital there.
And how long were you there in Denver then?
Well, I was there until 61. Tom and I met.
62.
Yeah, 62. Tom and I met in Denver and were married in Denver in September of 61. And he finished his senior year of medical school, and we left there and moved to San Francisco, where he did his internship at Letterman Army Hospital.
So where did you come from, Tom?
Well, my dad was a mining engineer, so we hit a lot of the high spots in the West. We started out in a very small town, Nevada, Manhattan, Nevada. And the hospital in which my brother and I were born was in Tonopah, which was the only hospital in the county at the time, and probably still is, I don't know. Anyway, we lived there. I lived there about the first 4 years. Then we moved to Salt Lake City because my dad was assigned to the Bureau of Mines during the Second World War rather than going into the military. He was not qualified physically for the military, and so they sent him to the Bureau of Mines. So we spent the war years in Salt Lake City, and then the late 40s, I don't remember exactly the date, we moved back to Nevada, to McGill, Nevada, spent about 2.5 years there. My dad worked for Kennecott Copper Corporation there. Then we moved to Malvern, Arkansas, of all places, and my dad had a job with National Lead Company there. We lived there for about 1.5 years, and then we moved to Silverton, Colorado, and that's where I went through high school and graduated from high school in Silverton. And so, and then that was in 1955, and then I went to the University of Colorado undergraduate school for 3 years, 55 to 58, and medical school, 58 to 62, and graduated in June of 62, the day after our first son was born, and or the other way around.
Yeah, graduated.
So I graduated one day, and he was born the next day. But anyway, about a month later, we moved to San Francisco, as Mary Jo indicated, mm-hmm. and spent a year in San Francisco, and then 3 years in Germany in the Army, and then wound up in Salida.
Welcome to Salida. That's good. Do you have a specialty in your medicine?
No, family practice.
Family practice.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. I practiced with Dr. Lenardi and Dr. Mijos when
we came. Uh-huh. All right. So you were here in Salida in 1966. You were settled in Salida. All right. What happened next?
Well, I came here to go into practice with Drs. Mijos and Lenardi, and of course that occupied the majority of my time for the next number of years. Well, Mary Jo raised our kids and put them through school here in Salida.
Did you do any nursing here in Salida?
No, I didn't. When Tom came here, all of the family physicians were on call to their own patients, and they also took turns taking call at the emergency room because there was no 24-hour coverage of the emergency room. So they took call for their own patients, the emergency room, and anesthesia call if there was any emergency surgery to be done. So it was kind of hard to leave the kids alone and while Tom was on call. So no, I didn't do any.
Mm-hmm. Well, tell us about your kids.
Our oldest son, Scott, is a teacher. He graduated from Salida High School, then from Colorado State University, and as an engineer. And after, I don't know how long he worked as an engineer, but...
He had in about 10 years with Woodward Governor, but part of that was while he was still a student.
Mm-hmm. And then after their first child was born, he... decided he didn't like the traveling. He was doing quite a bit of traveling, even to overseas and so on. He went back to school and got a teaching certificate and his master's, and now is a teacher at Bolts Junior High in Fort Collins. He's a math and science teacher. And Beth graduated from CU School of Nursing. And she's married, has two little boys, and married Kurt Mitchell, who grew up here in Salida. They have two boys, Jimmy and Joey, and Beth is a nurse at the neonatal intensive care unit in Denver at Press St. Luke's Hospital. Tim is a doctor in Colorado Springs, married, and has two girls. His specialty is physical medicine and rehabilitation.
He went also to the University of Colorado and then took his residency at the University of Utah.
Mm-hmm. All right, and how many grandchildren have you got now?
We have six.
Six?
Each of the three have two children.
Great.
It's very equitable.
And we have three granddaughters and three grandsons.
Well, how'd you work that out? That's pretty nice. But none of them live close to Salida.
Colorado Springs is the closest.
Yeah, you have to do a bit of traveling.
Yeah. Yeah. But that's not bad, really. They get to come here quite a bit. And of course, they love to come for FIBARC. And Tim does the race every year. And now the grandkids are doing the race.
Well, wonderful.
So it's fun.
Wonderful. That's good. Now think back to when you first started living here in Salida. What were some of the things that you did and enjoyed and didn't enjoy? And
one thing I think about, we lived out on H Street. We were renting a house on H Street, and Oxford's Market was still there, so I did our grocery shopping there because we had only one car at that point. And then we were near the swimming pool, which was nice. Could walk over there, and I was part of the group of parents who started the Salida Cyclone swim team. Because, well, Scott and Tim were both on the swim team. Tim loved it. Tim stayed on the swim team until they kicked him off when he was 18, I guess. But that was kind of fun. We were part of the... when the swim team started, they did their practicing at the swimming pool. But one year after the swimming pool exploded, do you remember there was a gas explosion? We carted kids up to Monarch Lodge to practice in the swimming pool up there because there were no swimming pools available to us. So we were hauling these little ones up and down the hill for that whole season. But they still did well. They did
fun.
Yeah, it was fun.
I guess my major recollections early on certainly revolved around my practice. When I came here, there were actually very few physicians here compared to what there are now. My two partners were in practice, and Drs. Hoover and Phillips were together at the time. But just prior to our arrival here, Dr. Phillips had become ill, and he didn't practice anymore after we arrived here. Subsequently moved to Kansas, as I recall. Dr. Smith, H.D. Smith, was a solo family practitioner here. Shortly after we got here, I would say within a couple of months of our arrival here, he had a heart attack and he retired. And so that pretty well narrowed the field down. Dr. Hoover in his office and the three of us in our office. And Dr. Ed Budd, who by then was only doing anesthesia. So that was the sum and substance of the medical core here in Salida for those first few years. Mm-hmm. And it certainly has changed exponentially since then. We have, I don't know how many doctors here now. So,
right.
So we've seen a lot of change in that regard.
Uh-huh. And remodeling of the hospital too. I think we've been through
two majors. I think
there was small one in progress when we got here.
Yeah.
And now we're going to get a new hospital.
Yes. Oh, nice.
It'd be nice.
Really nice. Really.
Yeah. And long overdue.
Badly needed.
Long overdue. The old DNRG hospital, although its historic value and all that sort of thing. Has just outlived its usefulness. The infrastructure and so forth is just beyond repair almost anymore, parking and so forth. So the new hospital is going to be great, I think.
Yeah, sooner the better.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
We've seen the addition built onto the middle school since we've been here, and then the new middle school built after that. Kestner Junior High was added on to since we came, and
lots of changes in the ski area. I think our kids like to ski, so we spent some time, Mary Jo spent time running them up and down the hill to go skiing. But gosh, it was a very small operation when we started here. I think they had one chairlift then. I don't know whether they were still using a rope tow or not. I can't recall clearly.
T-bar.
But
there was a T-bar.
There was a T-bar, that's right.
And one
did
chair.
You ski too?
Yes. Well, but yes, what as time allowed, but you just didn't have a whole lot of time for that then. But I've skied a lot more since I retired than I did then.
When we first came, Scott was in kindergarten, and there were so many kindergartners that year that they had three sessions. They had morning, mid-morning, and afternoon. And Scott was in the mid-morning session, so we would wait for him to finish school on Wednesdays because that was Tom's day off. And then we'd take the kids up and just leave them to play in the little cafeteria because it was so small, and we'd take a run, go in and check on them, take another run, go in and check on them, and then, Scott did start skiing right away, but Beth and Tim would just play and color and drink Cokes, and everybody would visit with them, but it was so small that you didn't have to worry about them being in there alone at all. Mm-hmm. And then they started to ski, it's a wonderful place for small families, I mean small kids, to ski, because it's, you can't lose them as easily as you can in a big area. When we first came, the Berries owned the ski area, the mm-hmm. Berry family, and then that after that was when Elmo Beddington bought it.
Yeah. I think the other thing that comes to mind thinking of industries around town is the development of the boating industry on the Arkansas. There was, I don't recall any of that when we first came here. I mean, private boaters, obviously. People would get on the river to fish and that sort of thing, but I don't think there was any commercial boating at the time that I recall.
No.
And boy, it's just wall-to-wall down there now, which is kind of interesting. Mm-hmm. And a big chunk of the county's economy, I think, too. Yeah. So.
We've seen three Safeways in our living here, because when we first came, there was a small Safeway on the corner, which is now the parking lot, opposite the Monarch Shrine, and it was just a small, narrow building, and then there was parking off of 3rd Street right there. Mm-hmm. I mean, just diagonal parking lot, and that's one row of cars. So then they built a second one, a larger one, and it was built at the back of the parking lot, right kind of along where the walking trail is now. There was a big one, and then they knocked down the old one and increased the parking lot. And then, I don't know how many years later, they built the current one, which... Well, they bought out what was Foster Lumber Company, which was on the other half of that lot, and built the big Safeway there, and then knocked down the old one and made it parking. So that's three Safeways.
Three upgrades.
And there was a little city market on the corner downtown, but that was independent. That was Mansheim. Mm-hmm. Mansheim's owned that, ran that.
Boy, get to thinking along the commercial lines, the banking industry has changed here immensely. I don't remember if there was more than the First National when we came or not. Was there a second bank in town then?
I don't remember one.
And now there are, what, five or six? Something like that. I guess that's progress.
Well, and you were involved in the first Chaffee County Bank. Talk about that.
Well, I was involved to a very limited degree when the Chaffee County Bank was opened. The original was one of the, I was a relatively small investor in it, but Joe Lionel Sr. probably was the lead guy, and Dr. Lenardi and Dr. Niels were both greatly involved in it, and Rex Rhodes.
And Ozzy Osbourne.
Ozzy Osbourne, that's correct. I don't recall all who else was involved in that, but, and I think primarily with the banking guidance of Rex Rhodes, that is how the Chaffee County Bank came into being, which then became the affiliated bank, and so on and so on. And it's now, the distant relative of that now would be the Collegiate Peaks Bank, as far as the ownership structure and so forth is concerned. But that was interesting.
Did you belong to Elks or any of the little social groups around town?
The Elks, we did belong to, belonged to the Elks for a number of years, and I think the primary motivation was that that's where all the good dances were at that time.
Good parties.
Yeah, so they always had a few good parties every year, and that was very enjoyable. And I also am a Mason, but I never transferred my membership to the local Masonic Lodge. I would attend as a visitor periodically and that sort of thing, but never got really very much involved in the local lodge. Mary Jo belonged to some organizations.
I belong to the PEO Sisterhood, and I belong to the Chapter FN, which is an afternoon chapter. Then there's the other chapter in town, which is an evening chapter. That's Chapter P. Also, was one of the founding members of the Monarch Quilt Group. We started out with about 8 members that met in each other's homes, and we were all pretty much Salidans, but then we started getting a few members from Buena Vista, and then a couple up from Howard, and gradually outgrew each other's homes, so we started meeting out at the fairgrounds, and then our membership started. We had so many coming down from Buena Vista and Nathrop that the group started meeting 6 times a year in Salida, and every other month in Salida, and then in Buena Vista. And it's grown to over 120 members now. I'm not sure exactly what the membership is, but so that was one. And we have a little knitting group and spinning group where we spin our own yarn. So just fun stuff mostly.
Well, and you've been very involved with the Catholic Church here
too. I belong to St. Joe's.
When we first came, St. Joe's, of course, had school still. They were operating a parochial school. And I don't really even remember when that finally went away. But
it wasn't long. They only had up to 6th grade, I think, when we came. And it wasn't long after that that they had to abandon it. So, what else?
Did you belong to the hospital auxiliary?
Yeah, I did. I belonged to the hospital auxiliary for a few years. When I joined it, it was relatively new, and the president at that time was Doris Stoker, and Faye Dunneman was very active, and I chaired the gift shop for a year or two. I worked on the coffee cart, but it was pretty difficult to work in the hospital being a doctor's wife, because patients would say to me, "Oh, you know my problem." Well, of course I didn't. And they were either insulted that I didn't know their problem because it was such a serious problem or unique or something, or they were embarrassed because they thought I knew their problem. So I found it easier to work in the gift shop or the bargain nook. It was, you know, outside the hospital. And then when the bargain nook was, they had to quit doing the bargain nook when they lost their place. So I kind of quit working with the auxiliary then.
I understood you had a shop downtown.
Oh, I had a yarn shop for a while, from 79 to 86. I bought a yarn shop from a lady named Marion Burr, who had started the Knit Knack shop out at Rainbow Mall, which doesn't exist anymore. And then I moved downtown and into the place, which I can't remember what's in there now. Either it was Antero Jewelers for a while, and I can't remember what's in there now. Public Defender's Office or something. And then moved up the street into the Groy Building, which is now That's a Wrap. And I had a partner. Her name was Dorothy Dumas. And we ran the shop for about 6 years.
What do you see now that you didn't see back then when you first moved into town? How has Salida changed?
All the businesses out on the highway, I think, are new.
Well, there's been a lot of evolution of the businesses downtown as well, too, the changing.
And the so many houses being built in the outskirts, really. Mesa Antero was nothing when we moved here. Up on Methodist Mountain, there was nothing. There was nothing across the street from us for several years.
The major growth, I think, obviously, has been in the county, not the town. I don't think the population of the town has changed significantly since we moved here in 66, but the county certainly has grown. And I think now we're apparently seeing the majority of that growth in the north end of the county, which is interesting. But guys, there were only two pharmacies here when we came. Riley Bartley had the Salida drug, and...
No, there were three. Alexander's.
Oh, Alexander's,
and,
that's
and
right.
And Salida drug, and Wagner's drugstore.
Yeah, you're right. That's correct. Mm.
And Alexander's became Lawlier's.
Mm-hmm.
And they're the surviving pharmacy.
Mm-hmm. That's right.
There's a huge group of lawyers here now. When we came, there weren't many lawyers in town.
Four or five.
And now we have a lot. When we came, the old courthouse was all there was. And then the annex was built onto the courthouse, and then the separate judicial building was built on the property, and then most recently the jail was added to that. Mm-hmm. So that was all empty across the street from us there.
Can you think of any characters in town that impressed you?
A lot of characters.
We want to hear about it.
I guess I really would have to give some thought to that. There were certainly a lot of people who made a lot of really significant contributions to the community, you know, as just giving of their time or working in community organizations and things of that sort.
Who were some of them?
John Peoples.
Yes, John Peoples was very active around town. I think, you know, Bob Rush right now is still quite active, but for a number of years he was very, very active, particularly with the hospital and the hospital board and things of that sort. And I think his father also was very active in the community.
They were both lawyers, weren't they?
Yes.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. Oh, golly. Dick Tuttle has been contributing his time around this town for decades. I don't think anybody has any idea how much he's contributed free of charge, so to speak. I guess I can't really think of any more names pop into my mind right now. It's too bad because there were so many people that did so many, many things.
Oh, Chick Moline. And Ray Hosford and Howard Goff, who were instrumental in getting the Aspen Concerts series started.
Yeah, that was huge. That was really good. That's been
Jeff Snyder was very active in that group too.
Mm-hmm.
What did those fellas do for a living?
Ray Hosford was an artist and came here. I'm semi-retired, I guess. Howard Goff had been an engineer and also came here retired. They lived at Mount Princeton for quite a while. His wife, Johnny, is still alive. She's 92 and still fairly active. Joe Lynell Sr. was very active in that group. Chick Moline was superintendent of schools. Charles Moline was superintendent of schools.
Joe Lynell, of course, had his own business. He owned U.S. Soil at the time and had been very successful at that. And was very active, really, in doing a lot of things for the community. Mm-hmm. Shared his wealth, for sure.
Were you here when they put the Christmas tree up on S Mountain?
Yes.
Yes. Did you help with that?
Yes, I did.
Oh, good.
Yeah, I worked up there almost every year, but from the very beginning, yeah, that's been a very interesting thing.
I think that's a wonderful thing. I think, and I'm not sure, but I thought when that first started that John Bayouk is the one who had the idea to do it. And then Chris Shermer had a lot to do with the technical part, stringing lights and everything. And when they first, the first year, there was no outline of the tree. They just had spotlights up there that shone the shape of a tree. And when they turned it on, everybody kind of went, oh, is that all? And it was pretty, but then they kept working on it, as they still do. They keep improving it, keep adding ornaments. But the first year was kind of strange, but everybody had enough faith to continue, and we liked it. So everybody contributed and worked on it.
Chris Shermer, I think, really had... I don't really know who had the idea first. I don't know that I ever heard who that was, but Chris really, through his electric company, devoted and donated all the time and labor and effort to string the lights and get the power up there and all that sort of thing. And he continued to be involved in that for a number of years. I think mm-hmm. he's sort of stepped aside now. And Steve Borbus, of course, is doing lots and lots of work on Steve's time to keep it organized and keep it going. But it was a fun thing to see it evolve, and I think it's been a really nifty thing for the community.
I think it's something everybody can be proud of.
Yeah, it sure is.
What else?
What else have you done for the community?
Well, I guess, really, from my point of view, I didn't do much prior to my retirement. I retired in 92, but subsequent to that, I spent 8 years on the hospital board of directors. I was on the hospital, or excuse me, on the golf board of directors for, I don't know how long. In fact, I was on there a year longer than I was supposed to be on there, because I was the secretary and I was supposed to be keeping track of the terms, and I allowed myself to have an extra year. I forgot that my term was up, so for better or for worse. And I've been worked on the child protection team, which is a committee in the community that's required by law, actually. The social services department has to have a community group sort of looking at what they do and agreeing or disagreeing with their actions and so forth. It's called the child protection team. There also was an adult protection team, which I was involved with for a number of years. I'm not involved with that anymore, but I do still go to child protection team. And I'm currently on the board of directors of the Housing Authority, which runs the senior housing group out behind the swimming pool. Mount Shavano Manor. I guess that's about it.
Do you play golf, Mary Jo?
Yes, we both do, but I don't as much as Tom, and I don't play as well either. But I think our golf club is a real asset to the community.
I think it's an undervalued asset, unfortunately. I think it does a lot more for the community than a lot of people give it credit for. And it's been impressive that it's been run by the golfers at no expense to the city for decades now. And I think that isn't appreciated by a lot of folks in town. People who aren't golfers don't understand that. I think it's a very big asset for the community. I wish we could get another 9 holes. It would be twice as big an asset, but I don't know that I'll live long enough to see that, but maybe. You never know. Still enjoy skiing a lot. We both ski. We love that in the wintertime. So.
Yep.
About fishing, hunting.
Don't do much hunting anymore. Do a little bird hunting if I get a chance, but love to go fishing. Spend a lot of time in the summertime fishing. Love to go to the high lakes. I like to hike into the lakes. And
mountain climbing?
Only if there's fishing at the end of it.
Just hiking more than climbing.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. I did do a couple of the three, I guess, of the 14ers with our kids, but no more of that. There was no fishing up there. So.
You like to fish too, Mary Jo?
No, I like to walk up there to the lakes, and then I knit or read while Tom fishes.
And you cook the fish when you get home.
Well, Tom's pretty good at it, though. Oh. He cooks. You cook the fish when you bring them home. Yeah. We don't bring home a lot anymore because we just kind of... Tom usually does catch and release.
When did you build your home here?
Gosh, we lived out on H Street for what?
3.5 years.
3.5 there, and then about...
Moved into the house across the street where Brunick's lived. Now, that was our first home that we bought. And then we bought these lots and moved in March of 72, I think.
That sounds right. I can recall for sure. It was early 70s, I know.
It was March of 72. May have been 71, but I think it was 72.
Well, now, you retired in 92, you say?
Yes.
What have you done since you retired?
Fished and golfed.
And took piano lessons.
Yeah, I started playing the piano. That's been a real joy, too. Had never played the piano before and decided I wanted to do that, and so started taking lessons. I still take lessons, and I enjoy it very much.
Very good.
Yeah. Nobody has to listen but the piano teacher and Mary Jo. The world is safe. So.
And what have you done since kids have left home and you've retired?
Do you know, when you don't work outside the home, you don't ever retire. It's still pretty much the same, although Tom shares a lot more now of the housework, and we share cooking. We take turns every other week cooking. But I do a lot more knitting, quilting, spinning.
Bridge,
that's right. Started playing bridge again. But we've traveled a lot. We just had a nice trip in May, 3 weeks in Scotland and Ireland, and we've been to Alaska, we've been to New Zealand.
Newfoundland.
That was really fun. Mm-hmm. We really liked that. And a lot of the United States in between. So that's been fun. See our kids more often than we used to. That's fun. And the grandkids. We just had a week in Silverton with all of them. Rented a house in Silverton, and they all like to go down there where their grandma and grandpa used to live and take them when they were little kids.
Well, you've covered your lives pretty well.
I think so.
I thank you very much for sharing them with us.
You're welcome.
Now I'll turn off the machine, and we can think of lots of things to say.